So, Brian, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
You need to start using HDPhotoHub.com. All you do is upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
That sounds pretty good. So how do I get started?
Well, it's pretty easy, Rich. All you do is register at HDPhotoHub.com. If you use the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
I did say free.
Okay.
HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum in Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz in New York.
We are welcoming you to this week's episode of Ask the Guys. I'm just putting it out there. We're going to do an Ask the Guys. We're going to just answer some questions, and I think it's a great feature. But before we go into that, Brian, what's going on in New York?
Nothing. Same old in New York. Yeah, weather's changing. We hit 70 yesterday, which is pretty crazy for April. But yeah, things are starting to pick up again. Full force, nonstop.
I think that's a feeling that most of the people I talk to that do what we do, they feel that it's really, really picked up a lot. And I think, you know, as I always say, go back in your calendar, look at last year. Were you busy last year at this time and the year before? You usually see the same pattern. So it's hopefully picks up around March, April. And yeah, I'm rock and rolling. So
that's what it is. People ask me and I tell them, you know, from like end of March till October, it's like nonstop. And then from November to like February, I'm like hibernating. I sleep. But
wedding season's going to start next week, I think, for me. And I'm booked every weekend for months. So it's just like, it'll be 5 days a week shooting real estate or architecture and design photography. I've been getting a lot of design photography work lately, and it's been great, but it takes a lot of time. We could go into that
for sure. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence since you started your full fledged Instagram campaign, all this design.
I've been super busy with one designer, and she's not. I'm actually trying to work with her how to make Instagram work. Imagine me teaching somebody Instagram. It's kind of like me teaching somebody Photoshop, because I personally am the worst person on Photoshop.
Well, but you know what? You always know more than somebody else. So,
but I know what I need to know for the things I do. But man, you can't learn everything about Photoshop. I mean, Mr. Kelby could probably tell you everything, but that's not me.
Hey, look, you know what you can.
Yeah. So let's go into how about putting on the recording.
Sure. But before we go into that, what about, you know, we teased for, last couple of days, some big news we have coming up in a couple of weeks, but I guess we can use this platform and our podcast and our YouTube channel with our video to let people know a little bit about this. So since Rich, you are the guru at this, why don't you tell them what we got going on?
Okay.
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
No, that's okay. I'm not embarrassed.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. So we've talked about we're doing a lot of things. You and I do my thing, my Facebook page. I've got all, you know, got all these things going on. But we came up with, we're going to start doing webinars. And we're really excited about the webinars because it's a new platform that's kind of a offshoot of our podcast. But we're going to start doing a webinar, and we're going to do a webinar May 2nd, right?
May 2nd, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Make sure you know that. It's Eastern time, and I'm in California, so it's going to be 3 hours earlier.
Correct.
But we're going to have another photographer, and I are going to – we're not doing like a shootout, but it is kind of like a shootout. It's kind of cool because we're going to have Matthew Stallone, who specializes in twilight photography. But he does single exposure, multiple exposures with light painting, and does these exquisite images. And so that's one way to look at twilight photography, is to do one image and really knock it dead. And I think that's great. And I always say it, if you've got the time and it works for you, do it. But I'm going to be on the other side of it doing a beautiful twilight in a single exposure. So, and maybe a sky replacement. So two separate ways to look at how to do these twilight photography, and you find out what works for you. But it's really going to be a good thing to just have both Matthew and I side by side talking about this stuff and going back and forth between either doing a single exposure, a single image, or I can do, you know, 8-10 images. But
sure,
they're each special in their own way. So
sure. Yeah. And just to give everyone a little insight, we're definitely going to talk a little bit about technique, but we're not going to dive too much into that, just so everybody understands a little bit of the background to how you got the shot that we're going to work on. But then we're going to do the live edit in Photoshop, so everyone will be able to literally see your screen as you edit this image and walk everybody through your process of editing. And there's obviously a chat on the webinar platform and Q&A. So, you know, we welcome everybody that's going to join us to, you know, ask questions and make sure that as you're watching, if you have things that are, you know, bogging you down with your workflow, you know, ask either Rich or Matthew, and get an answer for you. So,
and you're going to be like the mediator, Brian, and Matthew and I will be there to answer questions. And it's really like it's so much better than any of my YouTube tutorials on how to edit twilight photography, because you're really going to see us doing it real time and be able to ask questions and about, you know, about anything. And
sure, I think the questions are the biggest thing you know, compared to watching your YouTube videos, because, you know, when I watch your YouTube videos, I have questions and I'm like, well, what if you tried this? Or, you know, can this be achieved the same way? But, you know, I have no way, you know, I can text you, but other people might not be able to do that. You know, so this way you can, you know, go on and you can literally just, you know, ask a question and get it answered right then and there for you.
Great learning experience. Really, really good. And I just want to, as always I say, I just want to demystify twilight photography, because it's something we can all do. And it is not this magical thing that only Matthew or I or Brian can do. So anyway, check it out. It's going to be a wonderful experience. I'm really excited.
Yeah, everyone check it out. You know, just to give everyone all the info, the pricing for the webinar is only $29.95. So at, you know, slightly under $30. I think it's an incredible, incredible value for what you're going to learn. And we plan on going anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, give or take. And you can go on and find out some more info or register at shootingspaces.net/masteringtwilights. So again, shootingspaces.net/masteringtwilights. Go on, register for the webinar, and look forward to being there with you all.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
Cool. And on to our Ask the Guys question, we have, you know, to make that perfect segue, we have an Ask the Guys question on Twilights. So I know this is a good question more about the business side of Twilights that we can get into more on your webinar, but I figured we'd just touch a little bit on it here. So let me play it for you all now.
Hi, Rich and Brian. Thanks very much for your very informative podcast. I enjoy listening to them in the car between shoots, and I'm up to, I think, episode 21, 22 now. And yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up, etc. So thanks very much for all that hard work. My name's Daryl of Daryl Rickson. That's RIXONDARYLRIXON photography.co.uk, here in North London. I'm just inquiring regarding twilight shoots, really. I do quite a lot of twilight shoots, and I'm looking at the pricing structure, because when I do twilights in the summer, a lot of my clients stroke agents don't like the fact that I do charge an unsociable rate in the summer, because obviously the winter time, we're shooting between sort of anytime between 3:30 to 5:30, and then obviously in the summer, anytime between sort of 7:30 and 9:30, even 10 o'clock at night. So just wonder what your take on that is, and whether you're, you know, you do charge more for twilights in the later evening shoots, i.e. the summertime. So thank you very much, and keep up the good work, and look forward to continuing to listen to your series. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Daryl, for your question. Definitely thank you for listening from the UK. I mean, I definitely don't know how the business side of the industry works over there. But I do know that you, Rich, we've spoken on many occasions, especially last summer, where, you know, you'd call me at you know, 10:30 at night on the way home from your twilight shoots and be like, I'm first getting home now, compared to, obviously, as he just said it, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the winter. So, being that for me, majority of my twilights are more on the commercial side of things, and I can kind of, I mean, it's a little tough to compare because on my commercial projects, the numbers I'm charging are significantly higher than residential. But I think you can definitely lend a little more insight to this, since you do so many, you know, do you charge differently when it's later in the summer and you're getting home at 10:30, 11 o'clock versus winter? And how do you approach this with your clients?
Yeah, it's, I feel your pain, Daryl. It really is something, it's a very interesting situation because it does change with the time of year. In the winter, I will be shooting twilights. I'll probably start about 5 o'clock. And in the summer now, I'm starting at 7:30 and I'm going to be going up to maybe starting at 7:45, 8 o'clock, just starting. And it takes me about an hour to do a twilight shoot. And I'll get anywhere between four, a minimum I ever would charge or ever deliver is four images, but I'll do up to 10, 12, 16, 18, 22, 32 is my limit. 32 images, and that was because my buddy, Sam Chen, and I were competing against each other. And I think Chris Miller also gets in there, but we see how many we can do. But you get on a roll and you just shoot, and it's really fun and really easy. But I do a lot of prep time, so I'm there easily a half an hour before I think I'm going to start shooting. And I start shooting before sunset, and many times I'll be doing shots that I am not going to use. I'll be shooting, like I'll go around the house, but that gives me the opportunity to use it if I need to, but it gives me an idea of all the compositions I'm going to do, where I'm going to set my camera up for each of the shots. So I spend a little extra time, and it takes me about an hour, hour and a half to be there. So I personally never combine a twilight and a home shoot. And I don't do a lot. Every so often I'll do a twilight shoot from inside the house, but that's another subject. Because it's really, I always feel to do it right, the house shoot has to be a little bit, there's going to be about an hour in between the house shoot and the twilight shoot. Mm-hmm. But lately I've been shooting later and then having maybe a half an hour between the two, and it's been working out. But to me, I still got to charge a separate amount. So I could go into what I'm charging. And I'm not sure you even want to, but I'll say I'm just charging a fair amount of money to do my twilight shoot, my session, and I will deliver what I feel. And a lot of it is dependent upon what the listing or the location offers. If it's a simple house with not much there, because I've got agents that have me do the twilights on their worst listings and twilights on their best listings, from $5 million down to $100,000. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those, the 100,000 ones are the hardest because I'm basically putting lipstick on a pig, but it is a challenge. And I'm actually, I've always been very surprised. I look at it going, how the hell am I going to make this look beautiful? And I do pretty good, but obviously not as good as a $3 million mansion. So I will say that I think that you really got to, I don't want to say train your agents, but you've got to really set yourself up for success in pricing and in, you know, if you bid something and you bid it too low and you're too rushed and stuff, you could get the job, but you're probably going to be like me, be really pissed off or really unhappy in one way or another. And it could be anywhere from you're shooting and you don't have the time and you're not making enough money. And then you get home and you're editing and it's taking you longer than expected and you're not making enough money. So charge what you've got to get to really make you happy. And here's something that I got a tip years ago, and someone said, okay, look at it. I look at it this way. You're basically taking me away for dinner with my family. I am leaving my house to come to be with you. I am missing my favorite TV show. I am getting to bed at 2 a.m. because I've got to go home and probably edit your twilight shoot when I get home at 10 p.m. When you say something like that to the clients, which are your agents usually, they kind of get it and they will accept it. And so I think you've got to really be able to price a good amount, and don't throw it in my opinion, don't throw it in with the house.
No, never throw it in, ever.
Yeah, and I'm not against throwing things in and doing things, but Twilight Shoots, I'm really firm on. You're separating me from my family, my life, to come get your photograph, and they seem to get it because they know they're leaving their families too. So that's what works for me.
Now, does your pricing vary, Rich, for like one for the same client, whether you're shooting in different seasons when the twilight is that much later? So you're charging, because I think that's what Daryl was leaning on. Does your price vary depending on the time of year when you're getting home at 6 versus getting home at 10?
It wouldn't vary on that, because I want it really clear that a twilight shoot is a twilight shoot. A home shoot is something separate. And that sometimes agents have a hard time understanding that, because you're right there. It didn't, you know, what does it take? It's just a few more photos. Well, they don't understand. It takes twice as long to edit, five times longer to edit. But no, I would not change the pricing depending on the time of year, because I just don't think that makes sense, in my opinion. But I certainly will always charge the same amount. And, you know, some shoots you win, some shoots you lose. But you got to find a medium what works for you.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't shoot close to as many twilights as you, so I don't have the best, information on that. But, you know, kind of just to answer Daryl's question, yeah, I don't think it should make much of a difference the time of year that you're shooting. You know, when it's later, when you're shooting twilights later in the year, remember, if you want to go with that theory, you can also add another shoot or two in your regular day. Because it gets dark so much later. So whereas, you know, in the wintertime, you can only get in two or three homes, you know, in the summertime, you can get, you know, if you're a volume guy, four or five homes. So you can make up a lot of that difference by not charging any different amount for your twilights by adding another one or two houses into your normal day mix if you can get that type of volume. So yeah, I mean, twilights are definitely the way to go. And, you know, I guess we can touch on this a little bit in the webinar and kind of see if, you know, how it works over there in Toronto for Matthew. But one thing I think is going to be interesting, you know, I know you mentioned you shoot 10 to 12 images on an average shoot, 32 on a crazy shoot. But it's just interesting to, I'm looking forward to actually hearing the business mindsets between the two of you, because, you know, we've spoken to Matthew before, and, you know, I can put a link back to that podcast in the show notes. Matthew shoots 1 to 2 images max on a twilight shoot. And he sells it to his clients, and his pricing, I don't think, is much different than anyone else's for twilights, but he only delivers 1 or 2, but he sells it as a more of a hero shot and a more specialized thing where he goes in and obviously he light paints. So it takes a lot longer for a shot, whereas you're doing single exposure, you know, it's the amount of time to compose and hit your shutter. Whereas he goes in and it might take him 10, 15 minutes per shot, because not only is he light painting the interior, but I know he also light the exterior. I also know he light paints the interior, which will actually be pretty cool to learn about.
Yeah, but it's that's not completely true though. Mine, whereas I'm not using other light pops or light painting to edit in and editing, but I am doing similar things with existing images. So
sure, I know I didn't want to minimize what you're doing.
I'm like painting in Lightroom, so it's
correct. Yes, I'm not minimizing what you're doing, but it's a completely different work.
Absolutely.
Yep. And a completely different thing. There's no way you can get in even 5 images when you're doing a workflow like Matthew's versus where yours.
Well, no, I have done 5 or more light painting.
Wow.
That's what I was doing, light painting. And basically it came down to, I was just, I started with a friend of mine, Martin Beebe. We were discussing the pros and cons of single exposure or multiple exposure. We just came to the conclusion that they're pretty close, and close enough that whatever works for you, and that just works for me.
That's sure. Yeah. Well, look, with the dynamic range that you have nowadays,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Look, when I shoot twilights, I shoot bracket in general. Now, I don't use 3 or 5 shots to edit. I usually use a single exposure, but my thought process is, if I'm already there and set up, why not just bracket? I'm already there just to have it if I need it.
Absolutely.
But I don't usually use any of those to edit. I usually do it off a single exposure. The good thing about bracketing is if I miss the perfect time by 5 minutes and my sky is a little too bright and I can't get as much information back on that raw as I want to, I do have another bracket that I can pull from, you know, and just do a quick, you know, open layers in Photoshop and do a mask. But so I usually personally just bracket, but, yeah, 95% of the time I'm editing off one raw image anyway. So I have a little bit more of a similar raw workflow than you do.
And I have so much I could talk about this, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to spoil our webinar. But I will be talking about all these things that will hopefully enlighten you to what is possible in twilight photography. Because again, it is like this mystical thing to people. I mean, it's like they think that it's this thing that only certain people can do and that you have to wait for the exact moment and you can only do one and you set up. I was just like that. Absolutely. When I started doing twilights, I had no idea of how easy they were. So I just think, but the key, as you said, the equipment nowadays, the dynamic range of our cameras are just amazing and we can pull things out of them that you couldn't before.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I have another small question here. Do you want to go for it? You have some time?
Yeah, let's keep going. Let's do it.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's another small question. I figured we'd try to, you know, get two smaller, quicker
questions. Since we're working on a Saturday.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
What's up, guys? My name is Jeff Hinman with Jeff Hinman Photography, and I'm from Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada. The question I have for you today is, how many photos is enough photo to have on a website or portfolio to appeal to clients so they don't do the old Scrollola technique and lose interest? Thanks for what you do, guys. I love listening to you guys. I listen to you guys most of the time when I shoot my space. Awesome. Have a great day.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. And I know Jeff because Jeff comments frequently on my Instagram posts. So he's a good guy.
On mine too.
So thanks for the question and thanks for listening to us while you shoot your spaces. yeah, that's an interesting question because it's a hard question to answer because I've never really looked at my portfolio from the other side of things. So to know how many is enough, that I don't know, but I can tell you what I do. I actually do two different things on my real estate site and on my higher end design architectural site. On my real estate site, what I actually do is I probably have too many pictures, but if you click on my portfolio link, which is all the way in my footer. So if you go to my website, my portfolio is actually not anywhere on my navigation above the top of my website. And the reason I did that was because about 3 months ago when I was fixing up my website, I started looking at my Google Analytics. And surprisingly enough, I found that my portfolio page was the least visited page on my website. And what I learned from that is that I don't think people, or at least people in my area, care about the product, the quality of the images I'm delivering as much as price, which is an unfortunate reality that we all face every day. And that being said, I said, you know what, I'm going to just shift my portfolio down to the bottom of my website, which is on my footer. And from there, what I actually do is if you click on my portfolio link, it takes you to my Tumblr page. So I'm using Tumblr, which is kind of like an image blog, which is feeding from my Instagram. So that sounds like a big process, but essentially what that's doing is it's making every picture I post to Instagram automatically added to my portfolio. And it then gives my most recent images on my portfolio. The problem I had beforehand was that, as I'm sure everybody has, I'm sure you have this, Rich, too, you're only updating your portfolio twice a year, once a year if you're lucky on your website, or every few years, 3 years, every 3 years. So that being said, especially when you're talking about a year or more, you know, you're going to improve as a photographer, your work is going to start looking better. And who has the time to sit there and go in and start going through it all? So I figure I'm always posting to Instagram, I post daily. So let people see my latest images, what I'm up to. And that'll also, first of all, give them a sense of what I'm producing now, my latest work. And they can also see that I'm always working. So that being said, my real estate site has, I don't know, 500-600 pictures on it, the amount that I've posted to Instagram over time. Now, do people scroll through it? Probably not. Like I said, it's the least viewed page on my website. So I don't really care. I've never had a complaint. I've never had somebody tell me that you have too many images. All I've had was people tell me your portfolio looks great. So I haven't heard yet that you have too many images. So that's what I do as far as the real estate side is concerned. On my design site, I think I have about 20, 25 images on there. I think it's important to show just enough so people can get a wide, sense of the wide variety of work you can produce in different elements, whether it's residential, commercial, retail, whatever you're doing from an architectural or design standpoint, but not enough to overwhelm people. People don't have attention spans. We all know that. They say any video more than a minute, minute and a half is too long, except for tutorial videos and stuff like that. But yeah, I think I have about 20, 25 images. And I think, the key is to obviously find your best images, featuring a variety of different elements or scenes and try to post them, and that I'm actually always updating every 2-3 months. I know, I think 2 days ago, Rich, I sent you some of my images and said, what do you think for this for my portfolio? I'm updating.
I'll get to it when I have time.
Yeah, thank you. So that's what you said to me 2 days ago when I emailed you. So it's all right. So anyway, like I said, I have about 20, 25 of, what I think are my best images. And, like I'm doing, go ask other people, ask other photographers, because, you might be biased towards certain images because it was a lot more work involved, or for whatever reason, circumstances that might have happened on the shoot, you might be biased to certain images that you think are stronger than others, or that you don't think are strong while others are really good. So definitely ask other people's opinions before you post your images. But yeah, if you're just going to post your portfolio directly to your site, I think less is more. I mean, 20 to 25 images, I think is just enough without overdoing it. What do you have going on your site?
It's not good. I have so many
Has
sites.
It really been 3 years?
Oh yeah. I recently went in and dumped a bunch of photos that were like, oh my God, I put that on my freaking website. Are you kidding me? I had purple fringing on one and all this stuff and improper verticals and oh my God.
Oh boy.
So anyway, it's funny because we get emotionally tied to certain images, and that's in throughout photography. I know one of the great things I learned in photography is when I shoot sports, I used to shoot for Max Preps. We did all high school sports. They have a rule that if it is not tack sharp, if it is too noisy, if it is not showing the face, no matter how good the image is, it's out. So that's something to learn, that if no matter how much you're emotionally attached to an image, if it's not perfect, it's not... you can't even keep it. It's a hard one though, but once you get used to that, it really helps. And I just want to say one thing. I wanted to add in too, don't put in anything, and this is for everyone out there, if you have on your real estate website, if you have anything other than real estate, commercial real estate, or possibly headshots, because that is a pertinent thing, do not put any other work on your website for real estate photography, because agents, in my opinion, don't care, don't want to know. They don't want to know about any other shoots you have. They don't want to know about any other things you do, because if you shoot weddings, you're maybe not going to be available for them when they need you. If you have other agents that you work for, they will not be there when you need them. So remember, they're only concerned with you and them. So, and as far as less is more, I will agree. And I think that 25 photos would be more than enough. And I want to say one thing too. Recently, somebody I know posted photos on their website, and they're just getting started. And so I got to cut some slack there. But they put on their website, luxury photography. And unfortunately, all they had was like an empty house and this and that. So be really careful what you put on your website as far as you. I mean, if you don't have anything, I wouldn't put it up there. I mean, I wouldn't put up an empty room. It is not going to help you. More is not better. And also another thing too is, and this really started with me in wedding photography, is if you put in your portfolio and you can tell that it's the same wedding because it's the same people, don't put like four shots together of the same room. You can tell it's the same room because it's the same furniture, just different angles. But you're doing it because you feel you need something to show people. Mm. You can go out and fake it. You can go out and just drive down a nice street in your neighborhood and take pictures of houses. And you're probably not going to get in trouble, and I shouldn't even tell people this, but take a picture of a mansion. You'll have that picture. Take a picture of something. But I would rather see 5 to 10 really good images than 20 images to think you've got to show 20 images of the same mediocre house. So I want you to really pick out your best photos and really keep it selective. I think that you want to have a mix. So you may want to put in interiors, you may want to do exteriors, you may want to do twilights, you may want to do commercial, you may want to do things like that, because mm-hmm. that will help. But to be honest with you, residential realtors do not care about commercial work, but commercial realtors do depend on that. So sure. That's a tough one. That's up to you. But I think if you were to do 25 really good images and all different images, you know, but I will say some people have been in their Instagram, even they are putting together photos that fit each other. That overall, if you're looking at 20 photos in little collage, it kind of goes together. So think about where you're putting, what you're putting, where you're putting it next to. Those are the kind of things I think about. And I will update my website, in a week or a month, because I need to, and I need to put up some new stuff. But right now I've been sending people to my Instagram page, and it's really been something that I'm involved in, and it is updating quite frequently. So
well, that's that exact reason was why if you click on my portfolio page, it just takes you to Tumblr, which feeds from Instagram. I didn't want to send people directly to Instagram. So you know, when you're posting to Instagram, you have that option of posting to Facebook, Tumblr, and all that. So I have a post to my Tumblr, and Tumblr, you can kind of buy themes that allow you to make it look a little nicer. And I have a little theme that makes it look a little nicer. And that's my portfolio just sitting right there. So
I got to check out Tumblr.
Yeah. I learned that from Cat Alvis.
Cat Alvis, the best.
Yes. Yeah. I learned that when we did our blog, podcast, yeah, a couple of, she was like, I don't know, the second or third or fourth episode we ever did, and I was looking at her site and I noticed her blog fed to Tumblr. That's why I said blog. Her blog fed to Tumblr, and I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that for my portfolio. So that's what I ended up doing. So
and if you haven't checked out her podcast, I recommend it highly. She's a fellow Sacramento, or she lives near Sacramento, but she does just some of the finest design work. So it's just great stuff.
Awesome. Well, Rich, thanks again. It's always been a pleasure.
Answered your question. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff, thanks for the question. Sorry, I didn't thank you, but thanks Jeff and Daryl for both those questions about twilights and about portfolios. Hopefully that was helpful. Give you a little insight. And if you want some more information, as we just spoke about a little earlier on the twilight stuff, maybe even the business side of things, we'll definitely, I know the business side of things is not on our agenda/curriculum, but I'm assuming we're going to get a lot of questions from people about that. So we're definitely going to tackle some of those questions that come in as far as the business side of doing twilights. So,
and I will say that the main thing is, I think it'd be fun to hang out with us. I think we're really going to be, it's like we can all join in and you can ask questions. And I know that it's really fun to see what other photographers are doing. So it's going to be a great opportunity to see what Matthew's doing and what I'm doing and see the differences, the pros and cons. And you go out and do what you want to do, get better at it. And hopefully we'll demystify it, but you'll see it and you can make your own decisions on which direction you want to go.
Yeah. Sure. Again, if you want to get some more information or register for that, shootingspaces.net/masteringtwilights. And again, we just want to remind everyone to submit some Ask the Guys questions. We have a lot in the queue now, which is good. People have been submitting. So we're going to get to them as we can, but definitely send more, because we never want to have to beg you for questions. Mm-hmm. So send them over. And as usual, subscribe to our email list, because now that we have all this other fun stuff coming out, we definitely want to make sure that you know about it firsthand when we have webinars, new podcast releases, new articles come out. So there's a lot going on in our Shooting Spaces world over here.
Yeah. And whatever you do, be sure to go have a great day. Just try and remember how lucky we are to do what we do. And I know it's hard when you get a tough listing or a really not a great listing, but remember it's the overall and you got to look at the pros and the cons. But whatever you do, just go out and shoot some spaces.
This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at HDPhotoHub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES to get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HDPhotoHub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, ShootingSpacesPodcast.com.